Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to continue on our teaching series. The Lord started. I sure didn't start this one. He just began to speak to me about it a long time ago. And we're dealing with in due time. It's important to us. It's always important in a human's life to always know the time that we're in. I mean, think about it. What do I do at different times? What do we do? And it's hugely important. You know, people who don't understand the time that they're in are going to make a lot of wrong decisions. Amen. Wrong decisions. You know, just like the Bible is full. If we look in the Gospels and Jesus, I mean, he consistently talked to the children of Israel because they were generally an agricultural society. And he talked to them about the fact, see, to know seasons and understand time, you know, you don't understand, you'll never be a good farmer, you'll starve to death. Well, spiritually, you can starve to death. And what he was doing, he used those illustrations to show them, see, spiritually, they were way off base. A people who were looking for the Messiah, and he showed up and they didn't know it. Yet they were looking for it. And it's understanding the time is what time, and then what do you do in different times? What are we doing? There's many people today say, you know, I'm really interested in this because, you read secular things, even in news media, they do polls on things. They've done polls. Loads of people believe we're coming to the end of things. Loads of people take polls and they believe we're coming to an end. And I always think it's really interesting. If people believe they're coming to an end, why aren't they doing a thing about it? You know, in the church world, people say, I believe Jesus is coming back, and they're not changing at all. Now, we know that they don't have a real belief because John wrote in 1 John and said, those who have this hope, which was speaking the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, he said they purify themselves. Oh. See, and all kind of people are saying, well, I believe Christians, I believe Jesus is coming back, but they're doing nothing to purify their lives. They're just living like things are just going to go on the same way. And they're not doing it. Now, the scripture says that the ones that really believe that are purifying themselves. Well, scripture don't lie. But men do. See, God doesn't lie. The Bible says so. It's impossible for God to lie. But it ain't impossible for men to lie. We need to be careful. One of the things, I don't think people mean to be so and miss things so much, but what they do is we have a vernacular, a way that we talk and the way we do things that fits our society. And it fits the age and time that we're in. And people just follow it. They just talk it. They follow it. They say the things, even things that might be good and true, but it's not really mean much to people. It's just things we say. And Jesus said this, and I always stick with Jesus on things because I figure if he said it, it's a good sign that it's probably right. Wouldn't you think? I mean, but he said men are going to be judged for every idle word they talk. See, idle word don't mean a bad word. It means things you say that you have no intent to do anything about. Idle words are words that produce nothing. That's what an idle word is. If you take an engine and you put it on idle, let your car just idle, put it in gear and see how fast you get going and whatever happens. See what happens. And not much. It's idle. And he said that men would be judged by other idle words. The stuff that they talk. So we don't want to have just a Christian vernacular that we speak. We just don't want to be saying, people say, well, he's saying good things. But if they don't produce any good, then the person doesn't do any good. So there's things and keys that I believe to do really with us. It's one of the things is really thinking about what you say and what you're talking about. You know, there's nothing wrong if you don't believe something, you know. You don't believe it, you know, and that's just it. You can't change where you're at if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Well, they have that thing they say is insanity. If you did something that didn't work and you just keep doing it over and over again, you're insane. Well, sound like Congress. I don't know. But hey, we can't knock Congress because that's most people. They keep doing the same things over and over again. I found this out just in the walk of faith. You know, sometimes, and I don't care who you are, you've all been in a place where you said talk about trusting God in something, but you're really just going through the motions of it. You're not really trusting Him in it. So you just go through the motions, you go through the things, but you doesn't. If you don't stop and check things out, nothing ever changes. And there's one thing is, you know, God has really been dealing with me a lot about the fact of, you know, because things have to change. People have to make changes if they want something different. If they want things to be different, then they're going to have to make changes. We get God involved in our life. We're going to have to make changes. It's just like with Israel. Jesus came. He loved them people, went out and healed them and that stuff. But when all was said and done and he was rose from the dead, the majority didn't follow him. Oh, they like the healing. They're like, hey, something you're going to do for me. But you know, if you'd ask those people, do you love God? Say, we love God so much that we kill people who follow Jesus. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's total insanity. But see, when people get over in the areas, this is one thing: is you're going to always have to stay teachable. If you think you're smart, you're already dumb.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
When people quit learning, they just quit life. Life is a whole thing of learning and going along. Did you know that really none of the thing that marvels me, the Word of God stays the same, but life just changes and changes and changes. This is why people have a hard time with this, is following principles. While life changes so much, what are you doing following that? Don't you know things have changed? And here we are, believing these things that were put thousands of years ago in Scripture. And practicing them. See, this is what's so hard. See, things are constantly changing. And the changing that most people do, they're changing with the society. They're changing like today, you know. Most Christians today follow what they call science. And like, you know, we're having one of the big things today is not believing in the virgin birth. I mean, that's in every camp. It's not in some, you know, people that don't hardly believe the Bible. It's in all these camps. We don't believe in the virgin birth. Well, is Jesus a liar? He's the Word of God. Says in the Word,
amen.
Mary was a virgin. Well, is it? If you say it isn't true, how could you trust somebody that lied to you? Mm-hmm. See, people don't. I trust in Jesus, but I don't believe the Bible's true. Mm. I can't wrap my head. I can't even go to that place to even try to figure out how somebody has got to the point where they've listened to so many demons that they can't even see that that's a stupid statement. Mm-hmm. What's happened to people? I don't believe that. Well, a scientist said. Well, dear God, haven't they done great in COVID? I mean, you definitely want to follow. You turn your life over to them. It's going to work. What they say they believe. Number one, I just take God's word above what anybody says.
Amen. Praise God.
And if I'm a fool, let me alone. It's worked. It's worked in my life. Let me alone.
Mm-hmm.
I lived without it, and I've lived with it. I'm staying with it.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Know what it's done for my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My life was changed, and my wife even said, she said, well, she accepted Christ because she said, I'm living with a different man.
Amen.
If somebody accepted Jesus and they ain't changed, they ain't got my Jesus. I don't know which one they took.
Amen. Preach.
Jesus is a life changer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Faith in God is a life changer. It isn't what my faith isn't what I did for me. I just trusted in one who could do something for me that I couldn't do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're following time. We want to know where we're at in time. And what do we do? One of the things that I really talked to the Lord about is, because we've talked about this before, because people are talking about, well, Jesus is coming back. People are saying things and they're saying a lot of ludicrous things and crazy things that don't make sense. And, you know, all through the church age, people thought that Jesus was coming back. I mean, if we look at some like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they came out of the things, they were, you know, ordinary Christians. But they got over predicting the return of Jesus Christ. They predicted that Jesus was coming back, and they picked a date, a time, and he didn't come. So they did it again. That one didn't work. Oh, we made a mistake in our calculations. I'm sorry. I don't have a Jesus comeback calculator. I haven't found one of those. If you find one, let me know. I'm going to buy it. But so far, nobody's found one. But they did another prediction. And they predicted, and the time came, and it didn't go. They did it 3 times in a row. And since it did, instead of stopping saying we missed it, they said the 144,000 left. Now that is ridiculous, because even if you read what the scripture says about the 444,000, it has nothing to about them. It had got a thing to do with the return of Jesus Christ. And I mean, it's just absurd. It's ridiculous. But you know, that's what happens. You get deceived, you get over, and you get big headed, think you know a lot. The devil can deceive you.
Amen.
He can deceive. They got deceived. They started out right, but they got deceived because they got out. They wanted to know. So they're getting people over now today. They went and changed the whole religion. Now Jesus isn't the only Son of God. You know, they believe that the devil's the Son of God. He was the Son of God too. But they're not God. See, Jesus was a Son of God. He wasn't the Son of God, you know. And Lucifer, I mean, the Bible's clear on the subject that Lucifer was an angel. Mm-hmm. But you know, what happened? You get deceived. And you'll make the Bible say anything you want. That's why we don't want to go to those places. See, we want to know our time. Well, I've watched it over the years, and I've watched people say, well, you know, about Jesus coming back. One of the things that I want to know, I totally believe that we're running out on an age, on a time. There's things, we're seeing things going the way they are. One of the things that Jesus had told Kenneth Hagin back in 1950, he said, before things get to their worst, Jesus said he was going to return. Jesus told him, he said, I'm going to return before things. He didn't say before they get better. See, I'm watching things that people, because I look at scripture. In fact, I was reading this weekend and doing some studying and looking what Peter said about how, and Jude. Do you ever read those, go over to 2 Peter and read the second chapter and then go over and read Jude about people and what they're going to be like? It's a lot different than prophecies going out here. Gee, I wonder if they were right or the prophets today are right. You see, it's one thing, it's why you got to follow the word close. You got to judge things by the word. By the word. Paul wrote what people were, wrote in 2 Corinthians, what people were going to be like in the last days. We're in the middle of it, and there's one thing, the ugly are going to get uglier. It's not going to get better. Don't you believe we're going to vote the right government in and the ugly are going to get better? The next presidency, whoever gets in, it's going to be just as divided as it always has been here lately.
That's right.
Don't you think we vote the right guy in? I'm going to tell you, God is the answer to America. And if you think it's some, political move, I'm going to tell you what, just expect to get the same thing in your life all over again. that's not it. That's not what's going on. We need to understand the time that we're living in. Focus on what do we do? That's what I asked the Lord. Okay, what do we do? We're the church. Like, well, God, what can we do? Because of the time. You know, I do believe this because of things that the Lord spoke to me many times over the years and things I've studied in Scripture. God never took a people out of any place and put them somewhere. Elijah didn't leave and he didn't know he was going to. It's never happened. It's never happened with God. Noah knew about the flood. God got him ready for it. God always prepares his people for what he's going to do. There's no such thing as that. He always does. When the time comes, Christians are going to know. It's number one, I know Christians don't know if they're going to leave because they're living like they're not going to leave. You see, Noah wasn't building a bigger house. Elijah wasn't looking at his 401k. Now, there's nothing about having these things, but we need to be realistic about ourselves. We say Jesus is coming back. He can come anytime, and we're living like he's never coming back. Mm-hmm. We're making decisions about future. And even ministers will say, well, Jesus, come back any time. And God just told me, you know, that gave me a 10-year plan. I heard a minister say that. See, if he gave you a 10-year plan, how could he be coming back tomorrow? He's a liar. I told the Lord this personally when I was a younger Christian. I said, if these guys are accurate about this stuff, when I see you, I'm going to tell you you're a liar. You're telling people stuff that ain't true. And he told me, I didn't say it. See, people run around and get things. You can put things in your own heart because of what you want to believe. God never said, and your heart will speak to you and you'll think it's the Holy Ghost. And that's your own heart talking to you about the things you put in it. See, we got to make sure we're putting what God said in it. See, I've learned to back off on a lot of these things that people are saying. Do you know, In Israel's time, in Israel's day, if you read the Old Testament, the majority of the prophets were always wrong. Read through and find out. Every prophet was accurate, always had a bunch of guys saying something different. always had a crowd saying something different. You know, it's like today, you know, we give me a positive message. Well, I'm positively telling you this. Things ain't going to get sweeter. I can positively tell you. But Jesus has not changed in his sweetness. Amen. See, it depends which side you're on. See, the greatness of God is you can live in peace and joy in the midst of trouble.
That's right. Amen.
The world only has this to offer you. Things have to be good and keep your flesh happy to keep you happy. If you need everything to be going good around you to be happy, you know very little about Jesus.
Amen.
I learn it. See, I was not a man. You can ask Wanda. I did not do good in the storm, did I, honey? I was ugly in the storm. If things went bad, I went worse. I would go bananas. I would, you know, things went wrong. I was real wrong. I was the guy who was off the rails. I was off the rails. That was the big thing. She said, I'm living with a different man because a thing happened that I would have normally went ballistic. And she said, you didn't let it bother you at all. Well, that wasn't Ed turned over a new leaf on New Year's Eve. I was changed. I'm serious. When I got born again, I would every once in a while almost pinch myself saying, what has happened to me?
Amen.
I'm serious. I would wonder because I'd say, you know, the things that troubled me so much, they don't trouble me now. Why? What happened?
Hallelujah.
See, I see this in people. They first get born again and they have this thing. But what they do is they don't stay in the Word. They don't stay with Jesus. They just, you know, hey, I'm really feeling good. Just run off. I wanted to find out why this thing worked and how it worked.
Amen.
You got to do it. See, I've been spending a lifetime of study. You know, I never left school. I never left school. Because I'm finding out. I don't know it all.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I wonder. It's like Kenneth Hagin said, I'd hate to think I go to heaven being this dumb. And then he said, what about you? And I said, oh, amen. Lord, help me. Dear God, he's right. I don't want to stay this dumb. But see, we study and we learn and say, I want to know about this life that's in me because how it changed me.
Amen.
I want to know about this thing. I want to follow this thing. I don't want to lose this.
Amen.
See, many people get born again, a little time down the road, they're just back to the same life they were in. Never change. Just to the same life. Born again, they don't get any benefit out of it. Hallelujah. They don't get the joy and peace that you can. When I found out, you can have this all the time. It isn't something that's just bypasses you. Because I'll tell you, I don't care who you are, you will have opportunity to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed? Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You know, there's some of those days you wake up and it just starts right in the morning. I mean, it's something right in the morning. So, you know, hallelujah. This is good. This is wonderful. And I remember when I was a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin said, when things come along to you in life and these struggles come and that stuff, always thank God that this is a wonderful opportunity to use my faith and prove God's right. Oh, man, I didn't do so well on some of that stuff. But I learned over time. Hey. It's been when trouble comes, things to do and things not to do.
Amen.
See, you have to know what to do in the time. You get the time it is. You see, most people will get themselves over and follow the flesh for days on end, and then all of a sudden, when it gets out of hand, they can't deal with it. Then they'll start praying and talking to God after they have done destroyed everything.
Yeah.
For a period of time. Now I want to get over in faith. Well, you just done said 5,000 words of unbelief. 5,000 ugly words. You have done 5,000 ugly things. And now, I'm just going to use faith one day and God's going to turn this around. Well, this is where it's at. It amazed me how merciful He is. There are some things I worked hard at tearing up, but He helped me get back in shape again. He amazes me. He amazes me. Hallelujah. And He looks down and says, you moron, I quit. That's what we've done. We ain't up no more. That's it. I'm finished. Well, hallelujah. He hasn't quit yet.
Amen.
Glory to God. But I want to tell you what, there's a quitting day coming. People need to understand time. There's going to be get in or get out day. You know, in the middle of the tribulation, those who take the mark of the beast can never repent. There's a day coming you go too far, and God will not hear you. The fact that God loves you don't mean you get away with everything. See, we need to understand these things. I know God loves me. I'll tell you, fix things while they can be fixed.
That's right.
The Bible says, call on him while he's near. He said, don't call on him while he's far off. Mm-hmm. He said, call on him while he's near. We're living in the day of near.
Amen.
The church age is the day of near. The church age is going to end. And ain't going to near. Then the devil gets to run the show. You know, I don't want to live in the age the devil runs the show. I don't want to live in that time. I don't want to live then. I don't want to be here. I want to adios amigos. I want to, when the bus comes, have my ticket. We're getting on board. We're out of here. I'll guarantee you, there ain't going to be people saying, you know, I'd like to stay a little longer, Lord Jesus. They'll be, we ain't left yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, what do? We talked about the fact that Jesus, and we looked at Luke 12 and that scripture again. The Lord spoke to me about opening with this today in the scriptures. Luke 12 and verse 49, where Jesus said, he said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish that it were already kindled, or it was already lit. No, Jesus was talking about a fire, and he was going to light a fire. Jesus is in his death, burial, and resurrection. When he was raised from the dead, there was a fire started on the earth. Is that the kingdom of God? It's a spiritual fire that's burning that God started. It's the church age. It's God's, about God's fire. We taught in the Old Testament where it talked about fire, and we went in through the things. We went through a thing where the Lord taken me the scriptures back in 1991 and spoke to me and told me about what was going to happen in this valley in the last days. And he used the fact over where Elijah had called down fire on an offering, and God burned up the offering and that stuff. And we can't go through all that, but he spoke to me using that reference and looking at fire and what fire was in the Old Testament. Fire, we see God's fire was used for blessing sometimes, just like that. It burnt the offering. It was a sign to people that God was there, that God was manifesting himself. That's what it's for. And also we found that fire was used for judgment. God used fire as judging people. We also see that the devil is going to manifest fire during the tribulation period. He's going to call fire down on the false prophet's going to call fire down on the earth. See, it's a sign that people are going to follow that sign. See, people generally follow signs. In the New Testament, signs are not for the signs can do. There's things that God can do and talks about signs coming. But you know, a Christian is not led by signs, he's led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Christian is more in the Spirit, not signs. See, we need to be very careful. Because see, we can date people do signs. I've seen it. I've been in Christian meetings where a person's operating under demonic powers, oils pouring out of their hands, and they're all thinking it's God. And this big name minister, if I mention his name, you'd all know who he is, stood up in the meeting and said, God said she's supposed to lay hands on all of us. And I said, I'm out of here. And they found out later she's operating under demonic powers. See, people, you just follow signs. See, I knew in my spirit this wasn't right. So you're led by the Spirit. The average Christian's going to follow signs. Sign happened. Well, there are signs, in really, from the God gives, and it's through the church. One of the major signs, we look at what Jesus did, was healing people. You know, in Jesus' day, we talked about the fact the Jews, the leaders and that stuff, that wasn't enough. Jesus would run around healing people, and they come up and say, hey, give us a sign. Say, how many people have you ever healed? You know them. They've done nothing. He's out here healing the sick, lame walking, blind seeing, and all that. They're saying, give me a sign. They're the signs of the world. They're the signs of the world. You know, I don't need the sun going to stop in the heavens and I die of cancer. Give me a sign, heal me. Most people are just moved. Like, you go on the internet, anything that goes out of science, some people say, you know, well, somebody saw a light in the sky. Well, that's somebody from another planet. And everybody following all this kind of stuff. What really need people in life, people aren't spending their time looking for what they really need. Because why? People are so stupid, they don't know what they need. They don't even know. We live in a world, people's lives are all messed up and they're moved by all kind of other stuff going on. Things happening in the natural that just seem to mean such a big deal to people that amount to nothing in life. You know, if somebody's coming from another planet down here and coming down to this place and coming around, you need to understand the ability to do that. If they're from, see, we talk about this stuff. I want you to think how stupid even much of our scientists are. The amount of energy required for somebody to leave a planet light years away and come here to the earth and being able to do that and come here, they get someplace, they better plan on staying, because if they don't have the ability to travel faster than the speed of light, how are they going to get back to where they are? They ain't. See, we got this knucklehead idea. We don't, you know, we talk about, the scientists say, we found a world out there and that stuff, sort of like our world out here. You know, it's only 200,000 light years away. I mean, my word, we just pull over and stop it. I mean, dear Lord, we can plug the car in there. And people are saying these kinds of things, and people are talking. I'm thinking, we don't realize the amount of energy that is required to do that. We don't have any idea the amount of energy to push an object beyond the speed of light. You know, we hit 50,000 miles in space sending something out past the moon, and we think, whoo, that's something. Man, that's like walking. That ain't even a good walk. That's a crawl. And we talk about this. We talk about traveling in space. You know how bad off we are? Let me just say something. You know how bad off we are? They're talking about sending people to Mars. Now, I was reading an article. The scientist, this guy who, his big thing is radiation. This is what NASA uses him and all this. They're telling us all kind of things that they don't believe, but they're telling you because they want you to get on board, and you know, they get their money and they tell you all this stuff they're going to do and all this. And this guy said, the technology that we have right now, he said, to stop radiation, he said, once you leave the Earth, you know, we go on what we call space now. Most of our stuff is still in an area where our gravitational pull of our planet stops a lot of radiation from entering. So we can send astronauts up, they can circle the Earth. There's not a whole lot, they have to make shit. They're vessels that can stop the radiation. They can do it. But when you leave and get away from our planet, you leave the gravitational pull and you're under all this radiation. And this guy said this. He said, most people, he said, if we're going to send to Mars, they're all going to die. Because he said, most of them will all have cancer till they get there. I said, boy, they're telling us all this nice stuff. They're building a rocket ship. Their rocket ship can't protect them. All you can do is get them there to cough. Lung cancer, you know. You know. So, But see, when people live, what is true? See, we don't know much about truth anymore about things. You know, science is telling us. He said, the ones that get there, he said, we don't have shelters that you can build. Now they tell you they're going to be able to put these shelters. He said, we don't have anything that can stop radiation. He said, they're going to have to go underground when they get there. Well, I was wondering if that was true, and I got studying and found out that's exactly what NASA wants to land them near these places where they figure were volcanic tubes where the people could go live underground. And they're telling us you can't live on Earth if it gets 2 degrees hotter. It's going to be wonderful living on Mars, because Mars is a picnic. You get up there, 200 some degrees during the day. It's wonderful. And you got radiation. You go, in a couple weeks, you're dead. I mean, this is exciting. And we can go to Mars and live, but you ain't going to be able to live here. People let, they buy it, they just live this stuff. I mean, I can hardly wait to go live underground in Mars. And you got to stay down under here because if you go up above, if you get there, you know, if they haven't already shot your body out into space because you died on the way. Okay, anyhow, we're having fun. But you know what? See, I believe this totally. We're one of the most uneducated societies there is. Because we go online and look at all this stupid stuff and these people say all this and everybody loves the idea. We're going to go to something better. If you don't get it right with Jesus, you ain't going to nothing better.
Amen.
That's where it's at. Hallelujah. Jesus wanted to start a fire. Well, I tell you what, I want to burn the fire that Jesus did. We find, is one of the things that we see things that happened that Jesus did. What did Jesus do in ministry? What did he do? He said he wanted to start a fire. And look, we want to talk about the fire of God because the fire of God is not just something burning, something you see on fire burning. But we want to see when Jesus, in Matthew the 9th chapter, we want to look at something here with Jesus, what Jesus said to do. Because I asked, Lord, what do we do? You told me you want this valley here, what you want to move. The Lord spoke to me back in the 90s also and told me about America, what was going to happen. We're living now in the days that he told me about the 90s that were going to happen. There was going to be a great divide in America. He said there's going to be a great divide. He said, of light and darkness. He said, there's going to be places in America where there's going to be total darkness and there's going to be places of light. He said, people will literally move from places of darkness and move to places of light. And people who love darkness will move from places of light to go to places of darkness because they don't want to be in light. Well, see, we have that. When he talked about that, I wondered how it was going to go. But I mean, you figure, I mean, just in 2022, just in 2022, California lost 300 some thousand people moved out of California. See, we're having this New York, people moving out. See, people are leaving these dark states, these states that love darkness. They're out here, they hate God. They're states that hate God. The governments hate God. And see, we're sitting, what we're doing is, it isn't about political parties. You know, I don't trust. The political parties are messed up. We've made them gods and we've made them things. And these people, they're going to turn everything around. Well, they haven't. It's never turned around. See, I was always big on this for many years, for decades. I've been on this thing. They're always talking about we need reform. And some things don't need reform. They need blown up. You can't reform evil.
That's right.
Jesus never reformed. Jesus didn't call to reform evil people. He came to change them. He blew the old man up and made you another person.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's things that can't be changed. The Republican Democratic Party cannot be changed. You need to understand that. And if you don't understand that, you ain't lived. You ain't got much going on. They ain't going to reform. They ain't going to change. No matter how the people go and not what the people do. I mean, what did they do this last time? Oh, we're going to get this people in. We're going to change this whole thing. And what are the kind of leaders they come around? I mean, the senator, they put McConnell back in. What told me that these people have no interest in changing what they're doing. They have zero interest. But you know what? It don't bother me. I always knew they had no interest in change. When somebody's riding on the top of something, they usually don't like to change. It's hard to get people to change who like the position they're in. Did you ever notice that? See, the church world is identical. The church world is identical. They are in a certain position and they like it. We see it from the time of Jesus' time. The leaders, did they go along with Jesus? Did the leaders of the temple, did they go along with Jesus? No. He's out there doing good, healing all that are oppressed the devil because God's with him. And they're fighting him. And they're saying, you got a devil, you're doing good. No, they viewed it as you're trying to take my job. Would have been the best thing that happened if somebody took their job. And sometimes the best thing that happens, somebody take your job. So you can get changed and moved on to something more glorious, but we hang on to what we feel good we have. That's nature. See, I'm doing pretty good. Well, I tell you what, I decided a long time ago, I want to change.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, change isn't always easy. And one thing is I found out, the greatest thing to change, you're going to have to change your knowledge. You're going to have to either learn something new or you're going to have to do something. Say, God, I want to know what to do. Is I got to change? Sometimes change goes real slow. One of the things you're going to find in these last days, it's going to be very hard for some people to change because time's closing down too fast. You ain't going to make fast changes. See, sometimes in changes, you need to understand this. Years ago, there were some things that, and I could look over my Christian walk, where I came along after a long period of time. God showed me something in Revelation in the Scriptures. And I stopped and thought about it. I thought, you know, I could see this now. He's been trying to get across that to me for years. But see, what happened? The way you think right now is the way you will measure things of whatever you hear. That's how you're going to measure it. It's going to be measured by the way. You ain't going to measure it by what you don't know. You'll measure it. And see, we're today, we want things so quickly. We want things right away. We want changes immediately. We want things that's done. We don't stop. And when something comes, really evaluate it. What I know, is this really it? Is this really? We don't do things like that. We've left that. You know, I was a kid. People didn't make decisions quickly like they do today. You know, people today make decisions. Boy, that looks good. And I read online that was great. And I did this. Oh, yeah, I want something that makes me feel good. Let's do it. We got that, baby. And we're doing that. And I'm happy for a time till it blows up. Then I need something else. And I need something. See, that's where drugs and things come in. That's where people turn around. They're trying to feel better. They're trying to do something. See, I know I was a drunk and I did drugs and stuff. And I did those things to feel good. It's like a Christian said to me one time, God don't mind if you drink. He said, he ain't upset because we want to feel good. I said, if you drink to feel good, you already got a problem. If you don't feel good without drinking, you got a problem. You need a stimuli. God didn't stimulate you enough. It's because you ain't let enough of him into your life. He will stimulate. I don't need a stimulus. Sometimes I need cold water thrown on me. You need to get to that place. See, and I realize, when people need to have something better than God, you need for your life, you got a problem. You got a problem. And it's going to affect your choices in time. And I started to realize this was happening, and I thought, man, I got to really listen. Before I just think that I know something, do I really know it? Do I not really know? And the Lord, at one period in my walk, said to me, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe it? Well, more than you think, well, it's in the Word, it's in this, you know, and you listen to preacher. I was really surprised because when he told me that, I just knew inside of me, he wanted me to go back over and study the basic things of the Word that I believed. So I started to search, and I started reading the Scripture, and I found out tons of things that people were saying wasn't biblically accurate. And I believed them. I thought, hey, they weren't trying to misrepresent themselves. They literally believed what they were saying. They weren't trying to lie to me, but what they were saying wasn't true. See, what a lie isn't somebody just because somebody tells you something that isn't true, it isn't a lie. If the person thought it was true, they didn't try to deceive you. A lie is a deception. Is try to get you. See, we need to, people have learned how to lie. People learn how to do that. Christians lie all the time. They learn how to do it. They learn how to take a truth and manipulate it to make it seem like they're saying something else. Something that works in their favor. You know, people turn around, they take Scripture, and ministers preach concerning finances, and they manipulate it to get an offering out of you. They don't just tell you point blank. No, they manipulate to make that into a place where if you're going to give God some money, you're going to give it to them. See, you can manipulate truth to make it. See, that's lying. You don't manipulate. But see, we can. You know, people will turn around and get caught at something, and they'll turn around and manipulate. Well, I did this because, and they'll manipulate truth, even things that they say are accurate, but manipulate it in a way to make a thing to justify what they did. They know the whole time they're wrong. They know the whole time. See, we don't want to do that. That's lying. Mm-hmm. If you thought something was true, I realized, I said to the Lord, I said, boy, Lord, I was saying things I thought surely were true, but that ain't what your Word says. Mm-hmm. I wasn't not lying to nobody, but I wasn't telling the truth either because I didn't know what the truth was. Mm-hmm. So see, this is why we keep ourselves in the place of we definitely don't know everything. And I thank God I had a teacher kind of thinking, and he used to say to us all the time, don't believe something because I said it. He said, you look at the word and see if it says it. Well, that's what people don't. See, we're a society today built on this fast track thing. We're this fast track. You quick go listen to what somebody else says. You don't go study later on to find out if it's true or what God's really saying. You go home and next week you can't even remember what was preached the week before. You can't even remember what was said. Maybe I ought to go on to something else. isn't that right? That we don't even know what's said.
Amen.
You see, the church is caught in the same rut the world's in, Christians. And this is why things ain't working for people.
Amen.
They're caught in the same rut. You see, we want to look at the Word. Jesus, when Jesus said He came to start a fire, then He did something. Matthew 9, verse 35 says this, as Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of sickness and every kind of disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Now I want you to see this. He was moved with compassion. You know, a lot of people have what sympathy? Sympathy is not compassion. Sympathy is not compassion. Having see, most people are satisfied with sympathy. You know, well, I feel sorry for you. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, we're going to do nothing. I'm just going to feel sorry. But see, most people are happy with, well, they feel sorry for me. There are people that I've had over the years in ministry, and I've found people come. There was people, you know, that were always wanting prayed for, always having problems, even with so-called sickness and health. And I started to realize, and I just talked to them straight. They were coming for prayer, for healing and stuff. They didn't want healed. They didn't want healed at all. They were just letting people know what their problem is so people would feel sorry for them. That's the way they had in their life. There's people who have problems. Now, see, that might seem strange to you, but, you know, there's some people who have been trained in that. They have been trained in different things. It's like Wanda and I. We were young Christians. We went to a church where there was a very large church. They were having a children's outreach there. In other words, it was really a revival concerning children. They were preaching, and they had hundreds and hundreds of kids. Wanda and I went to help out with them in this thing. And so each one of the adults, these couples, we each had a number of kids. I don't know, we might have had 10, 12 kids or something under us and these groups. And there was hundreds and hundreds of kids. And so the guy who was the speaker, he was a spiritual guy, and he had taught, you know, on salvation, baptism, Holy Spirit. He got over to the areas of healing in one of the classes. He got teaching on healing. And he said this. He gets up and he says, now, everybody out there, you want healed. If you're sick, you want healed. This little girl sitting next to me, and she says, I don't mind being sick. And man, it just, boom. Well, see, today I can understand, see it, because I've had things I've run into. And I said, you don't want sick? She says, no, when I'm sick, my parents buy me gifts. See, this is what we call compassion. It isn't getting the person fixed. Compassion does something about getting the person fixed, not giving them gifts to stay where they're at.
That's right.
That's sympathy. Sympathy does that. And you know what sympathy does? It's to soothe the person not to do so. I've done this nice. See, I'm sympathetic, so I'm a nice person. No, that's called pathetic. That's not sympathetic. See, I'm a good person because I sympathize with people and their problems. What does that get you? What does that get them? Sympathetic, does it? Jesus had compassion. I want to show he did because he talked to me about this. He told me because I said, what do we need to do? And he said, now he looked at the people. He saw all the problems going on. And he does this. He said, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. See what it is? He looks out there, compassion looks and said, I can't reach all these people. I'm one. With the problem, there's more people need help than I can help. Tell God to send other ones. See, asking God. Isn't it interesting? Because there's one thing about this. Jesus was operating in the earth as a man. He didn't operate in the earth as a God. He didn't heal because he was the Son of God. He healed as a prophet with the anointing of God on him. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God don't need anointed. If Jesus was operating as God, why would he need anointed? Wouldn't need it. But he looked down here and he said, man, there's so many people with so many, I want to do something about it. I want to do something about this. He said, hey, pray, God will send laborers. Well, what kind of laborers? Then he's, look at this, what he does. Now, it ends, send laborers in the harvest. See, when they made chapters and verses, they broke things up. It should never have been broken up, really. But we break it up. But on chapter 10, verse 1 says this, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So what did he do? He asked God. He wouldn't ask them to pray for what he wasn't praying for. He's the one. He's the one that noticed the need for more workers. So what does he do? He said. He asked. He said, "You guys pray for it too." See, we need. If there's anything today, Christianity has very few laborers. We have many Christians, few laborers. The harvest, it's just at time of harvest. You know why people don't like, generally like harvest? Is because it takes work. Now you go to the farmer, his springtime plant and get the soil ready, that kind of stuff. You know, the baling hay and stuff in between, that's all that work to get things going. And then at the end, there's all that work you've got to get done and get things in and get done. Weather's got to be right. You know, you don't want your corn out there and having too much rain. You got to get the moistures down to a certain point where you can, the soybean and whatever else, the things you're bringing in late harvest, they got to be right. And these guys, when you get the days right, you don't go out. You don't say, well, you know, we're going to go away for the weekend. Say, we got a day to get this stuff in, and we're going to get it in. And that's why you see, you go out here, we teach up in Pine Grove, and many nights in toward the fall, Wanda and I'll be driving down through, and you go out in the fields there, it's 9 o'clock at night, you watch combines running on the fields, 9 o'clock at night. Well, you just don't understand, I need 8 hours sleep. You know, I didn't get much sleep. I'm tired. Well, see, they don't. That's farming. That's farming. I worked around farms. That's farming. Farmers are working all the time. See, harvesters requires work. What we do in a lot of our giving and ministries, we have been taught to give people money to go do it for us. These ministries are going to go do it. So we give them the money to go do here. This is called about a pay. I'm gonna pay for my harvester here. I'm running a check and this is gonna be for my harvester. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said to them, pray that the Lord of harvest would send laborers into harvest. And what did he do? Sent them. Still, I'm praying. But see, you need to understand this. God didn't send them out there as they were, he anointed them. The reason most Christians don't do much of anything because they have no anointing. Anointings just don't happen. Anointings just don't happen. Anointings are sought after. Anointings are something you go after to get. Anointings are something you want God's hand on you. See, many people want God's blessing, but don't get your hand near me. God, I want what you got. But don't want me. See, we're afraid of it because why? We think about it in the natural. Well, look what I am and I can do. God will anoint you. You remember God anointed Saul for king, said he became a different man. The anointing will change you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The anointing will change you. That's why you want an anointing. It'll change you. The anointing will change you. You know, a lot of my spiritual development came through anointing, God anointing me. A lot, because the anointing would change the way I would think and I'd see stuff. Why? The anointing is the Holy Ghost's hand on you. He reveals things to you, shows you stuff. You know, I know people struggle to try to get a hold of things and do stuff, and I've learned over time, you need the anointing. You need the anointing of God on you. Just being a Christian, you can be a Christian and go to heaven and never do nothing for God. Never do a thing. Whatever is done through your own strength, your own abilities, your own wisdom, and you can go off to heaven. You can be with Jesus. But when you get there, you're going to be judged by what you did in the flesh here, whether you walked in the flesh or whether you lived. That's what the reward is for. Reward is getting there. A lot of people aren't going to have no reward. They're not. Jesus is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's going to go, what'd you do? You know, he ain't going to kick you out. He's going to keep you. It's amazing. The mercy of God's phenomenal. But I'm going to have to look at Jesus. You know, Paul talked about this. I heard a minister say this, and I liked it because he said Paul talked about the fact that his calling, this calling on his life, he couldn't get away from it. He was compelled to preach. He was compelled. He said, I can't get away from it. I know what he's talking about. I'm compelled. What are you compelled to do for God? What is it that God's called you to do that you just can't stay away from it to do it? See, everybody should have that. That should be in every Christian should have that. See, I'm called to teach and preach the word. Now, you might not be called to the same and have the same anointing that I have. You don't. But I'm going to tell you what. I can't get away from it. I had people to ask me, when are you going to retire? And I said, how do you turn this thing off? I wonder how you do it. Because why? I'm going to tell you what. I can see why people commit suicide. Because if you turn around and leave it, you'll go crazy. Why? Because you have this anointing that's compelling you to do so, and you're trying to fight against this whole thing the whole time.
Amen.
You see, I understand what it is. I say, how do you turn it off? How do I turn this anointing off? How do you tell God, don't give me another teaching? Don't give me one! Stop it! Don't wake me up early in the morning and give me scripture! Stop that! Well, I think you could resist God long enough to after a while he would quit.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know what? When you've had God moving you for so long and he quits, you know this, things aren't going good.
Amen.
Things aren't going well. So, you want to know. See, getting compulsion in you. Jesus said here, see, Jesus called the 12 to him and gave them, he gave them something. He gave what he had to them. He didn't send them out there just guys. He gave them what he had. He gave them anointing that he had. You read the whole thing. He tells them not to go out, go into any places, you know, that outside. He's talking about Israel where he's going to. These are the places that he is sending them to, out to what he's called to as Israel. That's where Jesus' anointing was basically laid in that area, and that was it. That's where it was. Jesus' ministry, the fire that he started in the earth is when the church, when he was raised from the dead, the church began. Because the church was called to the world. Hallelujah. When Jesus came and raised from the dead, hallelujah, God wanted to bless the Jew, but I tell you, he went to the Gentile. Hallelujah. And God started a fire. God started a fire. That's what this whole thing's about, the fire. There is no point of the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you don't want an anointing to do things. There's no point to it. There's just stay what you are and just get by in Christianity as best you can. No point in any of it. The point of the Holy Spirit, because there is fire needed, these men needed something more than they are. Jesus didn't send it. Even though if they had listened to all of Jesus' teaching, it wasn't enough. He didn't say, well, you guys got enough teaching. Huh? There's anointing. See, you got to learn to hook the anointing. See, it's one thing as I learned with being, when I went to Rhema. God didn't send me a Rhema, so I got a lot more teaching. There's things I learned there, but a lot of stuff I knew before I got there because I did everything that Brother Hagin ever taught, never ever did. Everything that I knew that he ever had, every book, anything I'd get a hold of teaching, I was already doing that. I was taught well. God sent me to Rhema to get an anointing. My teaching anointing came from Brother Hagin, and that came before I ever went to Rhema. Got my teaching anointing. But God sent me to a place where a man was present with the anointing. You know, the 99 times out of 100, your anointing will not come to you just from God come to you. It comes to you through another person.
Amen.
Read the scripture. What are they doing? Laying hands on me. Laying hands is not a tradition. Laying hands is what, laying hands on the sick, it isn't being nice to the person. It's transferring something you got to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this stuff's about.
Amen.
Transferring. It's what it is. We lay hands on the sick. Why? I have something in me to give to the individual.
Amen.
See, if you don't know you have something in you, see, people don't. That's why people say, they'll go call the minister. I have it all the time. People say, oh, I know it's a certain person. Could you go lay hands on him? I say, why don't you? Well, I don't know how to. You don't know how to put your hand on somebody? You knucklehead, what's wrong with you? You don't know how to do that? No, we get the preacher to do it. Because see, we don't believe, we don't have, I don't have nothing. He does. Well, if he got it, you call him. You know, and I just say to him, well, send me a check for $10,000 and I'll go do it. See, if I got something you don't, I ought to be worthy of some bucks out of this thing. You know, do you go to the doctor free?
Nope.
See, Christians got it, they aren't acting on it. They're trying to get somebody else to do what God's given them to do.
Amen.
See, if we're not going to lay hands on people by faith, don't expect to get anointing to do it. You know, we can lay hands on the sick. Don't say, you know, it's those who believe the gospel. This is what happened. Jesus said, this is going to happen to those who believe the gospel. He told the disciples, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How about that? And people always called a preacher. It's amazing. It's a thing that just downright amazed me. Because now, this stuff ain't hard to learn because as a baby Christian, I read it and thought, well, this is what you do then. I didn't know you were supposed to call the preacher. The Bible didn't tell me I was supposed to. I was looking at some study and people who know a lot more about Greek than me, you know, because it says in the book of James wrote, James said about, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint him. It says those ones, and in the Greek, I never realized this. It says those ones that are supposed to call, it says it's the indication of a person who can't help themselves. It's not talking about every Christian supposed to go to somebody. It's the ones that can't help themselves. You see, there's no more, from a healing say, somebody could have a special, God gave, sometimes ministers have certain, some ministries have certain special healing anointings or something working on them. But every Christian's the same as we have the name of Jesus and the authority of that name.
Amen.
To lay hands on the sick. We all do. And it said they'll recover. It didn't say they were going to instantly heal. They were going to get better. I always ask people, do you really want to get better? I had a woman come to me one time. She had MS. And, you know, she had gotten over to where, you know, she was starting to have to use crutches and stuff and things. She came over and she said, came up and said she wanted me to pray for her healing. And I said, you want to pray for your healing? Yes. She said, I don't want to be completely healed because I don't want to go back to work. She said, I want to still keep my... I said, you do? I said, then go sit down. You'll keep it. I said, you don't. See, you don't think everybody around... Hey, there's loads of people playing a lot of games out here. There's people you waste your time praying for. That's why you need to get the Holy Spirit involved and find out who people you need to and people you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people I prayed for numbers of different times. I prayed, not personally praying, but praying for them at home. Just coming to me, and I just pray for them about problems, these things they have. And what I do is see, you get over, and you know what? I get this compassion where I see a person, these things ain't changed. Things are a mess, and you're just praying for them. You want to change it. You don't want to keep going the same. And so I get over there, and I found out I do this sometimes, and you do too. We pray for individuals, but never stop and ask God about it. You know, we look and say, well, God wants them well. Well, if anybody does, he does, but that doesn't mean he can do anything about it. And I've had this happen more than one time where I prayed for an individual and prayed for him numbers and numbers of times. It's one individual I prayed for numbers and numbers of times over a couple year period. Numbers and numbers of times, praying for them. Nothing ever changes. Finally, I said, Lord, what's going on with so-and-so? See, I never had done that. See, I'm Mr. Faith, you know. I just pray over here and I'm praying. Because this is what happens. I knew in all these times I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost ain't hooking up with me on this concerning that individual. I just know it. I know when the Holy Ghost is hooked with me and when he ain't. But see, sometimes we can go through the motions of things. And I said, Holy Ghost, you're not hooking up with me on this individual. I mean, it got so dead after a while, I was just like, blah, 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 blah. This is tongues. Blah, 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 blah. I'm praying in tongues. I said, what's going on? He said, you can't help them. He said, they know what to do and won't do it. I thought, and I've been wasting all this time thinking I'm doing something good, praying. But see, I never asked God about it. I never asked him. See, many times there's people know what to do. And I've had that happen a number of times with people. Where I've gone on praying, and I finally said, Lord, what is going on with this? And he said, they know what to do. They're not going to change. They're not making a change on it. You see, understand the power. If you pray by faith and you ask God, you know, Jesus said nobody comes to the Son and asks the Father asks him. The Lord showed me this as a young Christian. And, you know, sometimes we're slow to catch on. I don't know about you. But I am. Sometimes I'm slow. But the Lord said to me about praying for people, because this one, people pray for an individual and ask God to draw somebody to Christ, and nothing over time. Sometimes people go long periods. They pray and always thanking God, you know, reaching so and so. They want the God to draw them. And nothing ever changes with the individual. We get over and think that, well, God must not be doing. What's going on? Maybe if I just keep hounding God, he'll do something. Well, dealing with an individual one time, I'd prayed time and time to the Lord concerning this individual, and I'd pray for them. And then I finally, one of those things, I woke up one day, and I had a clear mind to ask God about what was going on with this. And the Lord said, you prayed and asked me to draw him. He said, do you think I wouldn't have done it? And I was ashamed to answer, because that's why I was talking to him. He wasn't doing it. Don't laugh at me. You do it all the time. Anyhow. He said, when you ask me to draw a person, I will do it. He said, that doesn't mean they're going to come. He said, I give them opportunity. I'll draw them. Always know that. Always know that. When you pray, God does. God will. You ask God to start to move in a person's life, God will start to move in life. That doesn't mean they're going to respond. If you could always get the person, the outcome that you wanted with another person, and we could pray everybody gets saved, and everyone would get saved, and we'd all go right into the millennium.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can't. But we can ask God to draw people and reveal himself to people.
Amen.
And that there's an important thing to do. Because people, many times, they need somebody praying directly concerning them that God will begin to draw them. Ask the Father to begin to draw that. Send ones across their path. Send a laborer across their path, Lord God.
Amen.
Send somebody. See, we can do those things. Just like here with this. Lord says, pray for laborers for the harvest. Well, you're trying to harvest someone. Pray for labor. See, some people you can. It's like my sister Helen would listen to any of the Christians in the family. She would not listen to anybody. She'd have nothing to do with Christianity. She had nothing to do with anything on that. And, you know, when you get over there, and this is one of the things, is God does things. Sometimes God initiates things on his own. This is why you want to follow God closely. Because he can turn around and bless other people's lives because you obeyed him.
Amen.
And you know, it isn't because you did some great feat. I still don't know what this was. In 1983, it was right before I went to that camp meeting where God anointed me, gave me the teaching anointing. Got it from Brother Hagin. Now, I was praying, and during that time that went on, that I was praying about going out there, because God said to me, you go out there, you're going to get an anointing. Well, I started praying about that because I wanted to know what God's plan and will was me being out there to, you know, get an anointing. Well, what's this about, you know? You know, somebody said, well, God said I was going to get an anointing. Well, you know what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be, what's your thing? So I was praying, I was asking God about it because I wanted to have myself in a position to have a little knowledge, but I was praying and things. Now I'm praying about going out there and about this anointing. Now I'm not praying at all, and all of a sudden, just as clear as if somebody would have been in the room talking to me, he said, because you've done what I've told you to do and you've walked where I've called you to walk, he said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I had to think, well, what's this great thing that I did? What did I do because I walked and I followed him? because you did that.
Amen.
But it was just from the standpoint of being obedient to what he had told me to do and what he had shown me. It was no great feats, but obedience. God's looking for faithfulness.
Right.
He's not looking for smart people.
Right.
He's looking for the faithful.
Amen.
Who's faithful in little, he'll make ruler over much.
Right.
Well, it's like my sister. When my sister came along and my brother told me that my eldest sister, you know, she was married when she was married before I was born. So she's married 7 months after I was born. She had a little guy named Gary. And so we have a big spread of age difference. And so she's in her 80s and she's dying. And my one brother called me. He said my other sister had called her. He lived in Florida where she had lived in Florida where my sister Helen was. And said, Helen's dying. They took her to the hospital. They can't figure out what's wrong with her and that kind of stuff. And I knew what was wrong with her. It's the devil. I knew what was wrong with her. You know, they said the doctors don't know. Well, they ain't spiritual. They wouldn't know. The devil wants to kill her, take her off to hell. That's what he wants to do. But I know this, he can't. So my brother says, we need to pray for Helen. I said, I ain't praying for Helen. I said, God told me he would bring my brothers and sisters in. I said, if I start praying, I'm going to act like he didn't say that. Do I have to now convince him to do what he said he'd do? Now, you need to understand this. You can't just do this concerning your family because God didn't covet to say it to you. See, I can walk in faith with something because he said it to me. This was a reward given to me by the Lord Jesus for obeying him. That's where it came from. See, God did that because, look at David. David, God said because he did what he's supposed to do, he said you're always going to have somebody to sit on the throne. Did they ever have to pray to get one of his descendants on the throne? Did they ever have to? No. God always put one of his descendants on the throne. Why? Because he covenanted with David obeyed. See, that was done on the See, God will covenant with people personally. This is why you want to. People talk about a personal relationship with God. Most people only have a book relationship. They don't have a personal relationship.
Amen.
You can have a personal relationship with God, but God will covenant for you and say, "Look, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you." See, the Lord told me how to bring my family, my wife and kids, into the kingdom. He told me what to do. He showed me what to do. Now, you could have that revelation, and well, it's a revelation he gave me. And he turned around, he said to me, go read the 128th Psalm. And I went and read it, and when he told me that, I didn't know if there was 128 Psalms. I didn't know how many there were. I just knew pretty many of them in there. But I read the 128th Psalm, and it talks about the man who fears the Lord and walks in his way. His wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house, and his children as olive plants around his table.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord said this to me. He spoke this to me then. See, I was after God. See, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. Call on the Lord while he's near. See, people don't do these things. These are Bible principles. I'm and they work.
Amen.
And the Lord said to me, he said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll guarantee you your family. I bet I haven't prayed about my family 10% of what most Christians pray about their family. Why? Because the Lord told me, this thing is about you walking where you walk. See, people don't know about this stuff. I tell this testimony, but most people still don't get it. It's about my walk. He told me, he said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll guarantee your family. Anytime, if the kids started straying off into things, I would always stop God and say, Lord, you said that if I do what you told me to do, if I do it, he said, you guarantee my family. My children would be as olive plants around my table. They wouldn't be at somebody else's.
Right.
I said, Lord, you told me that. Now, if I've missed it anywhere and got off track, you let me know. See, it's about me being on track.
Mm-hmm.
See,
wow.
You can be off track and pray night and day and not ever change a thing. That's why you serve God for other people. It ain't just about you.
Hallelujah.
You've heard me say that, and I'm going to keep preaching that because there's power in it. That's what God taught me. There's power in me following God for my family. There's power. Like the Lord told me, he said, I didn't save Noah's family because they were righteous. I saved him because he was righteous. And that's what the Scripture says. Scripture never says his wife was doing what was right or his kids were doing what. He never said they were righteous. Hallelujah. See, you walk and you follow God. This is why you follow God and you walk in his way.
Amen.
You don't get off and follow other things. You don't follow. I don't care what anybody else says, and their great ideas about how to have a family and do what you want. See, one thing is obedience to God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, you and I want the anointing of God. You want the anointing of God in your life. Amen. That's what you need. That's what keeps you steadfast. You don't follow this stuff without an anointing. You don't, it's the anointing what maintains you in walking in these things. It's the hand of God in your life. I do this because Ed's such a good, bright Christian. Dear God, I could tell you loads of stories about being an idiot. But the whole thing, it's what God does.
Amen.
It's what God can do. See, if we want God's hand in our life, people are just satisfied the way things are. You know, I'm a pretty good life. You know, I'm all right. We're getting by. Man, I'll tell you what. I live the get by life, and eventually get by goes. Mm-hmm. And then you're running to get by, and you're running around asking everybody else to pray. Somebody else lay their hands on your empty head, doing this and that, doing that, trying to get things changed. Mm. And it's like, no, I've learned to take responsibility. Because I have a responsibility for my life.
Amen.
I have a responsibility to follow Christ. If I don't, then He ain't Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're supposed to confess Jesus as Lord. That's what you do. Confess Jesus as Lord to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Lord means this. He's in charge of you.
Uh-huh. Amen.
See, everybody wants a Savior. You know, give me the insurance policy. But I don't want anybody telling me what to do. This is what I found out. God never tells me anything that isn't for my best.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's reward in everything you do with Him.
Amen.
If you're seeking for reward, you're going at it the wrong way. Seek for obedience. Seek for following Him. Reward comes naturally.
Amen.
Reward comes. We're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in every place. Seeking for blessing is the stupidest thing a Christian could ever do. You're saying to God, you didn't give me nothing. God, you got to give me something. You got to do this. You got to do that. Because you didn't do nothing for me yet. So I'm trying to get the stuff. Oh, I'm sorry. God's already blessed me.
Amen.
That's why I give because I'm blessed. I don't give to get blessed. I am blessed. That's hallelujah. I'm blessed. Glory to God. See, He'll put a smile on your face about you. I'm in this earth. I'm a blessing.
Amen.
Woo-hoo!
Hallelujah.
I'm a blessing. That's what I'm called to be a blessing.
Amen.
God blessed Abraham and made him a blessing. That's the whole point. Glory to God. It wasn't, I got blessed so I could bless me. Oh, my. Well, I want to read you a little bit here in Luke. Luke wrote something about this because Jesus did something else. Jesus did another. Here's another thing. So Jesus did this again. It'd be once in Scripture we would talk about this, but in Luke 10, Jesus did something again. And I want you to see this here. Luke 10 and verse 1 says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before the face of every for the face in every city and every place where He Himself was about to go." And then He said to them, now He's sending people out, but what does He tell them to do? He said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest sends laborers into the harvest." See, He sent 12 and He said, that ain't enough. He sent 70 more and He tells them, "Keep praying. Hey, pray about this. It ain't enough. It isn't enough." See, I asked the Lord about this, about these things going on. If you get down through, He tells them about going out. And we just need to know as Christian. Your job as a Christian is to share Christ with people. Show people Jesus is alive. That's one of the things why we lay hands on the sick and stuff. They are the signs that God did. Look at the signs that Jesus did. They're the scriptural signs. If you follow the church, it's the same stuff. Look over in the letters of church, the ministry. It was the same things. Healing the sick, doing all these. They're doing all these things. This is the sign. This is what God gives us to minister. These are the things that operate through us. So God's interest is, number one, God's interested in people's health. Do you realize how many problems we could solve in America if we could solve people's health? My God, we'd have so much money we'd pay our debt tomorrow. Do you realize how much Americans are spending on health care? Health care is destroying our nation. Why? People living in sin can't stay healthy. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. See, we need another. Anything, the devil is the one. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he does. Sickness is about killing you. It's about killing you. The devil can't kill you. He at least wants to discomfort you a lot. One of the things, he wants to keep you out of the harvest. It's what the Lord spoke to me about many years ago. In fact, this goes back many years. This goes back close to 40 years ago. He spoke to me about the fact of healing, as how much he wanted to heal people. He said, many of my people, he said, they can't do my will and follow what I want them to do, because he said the devil keeps them sick and all their time and money is spent on taking care of their health. So they spend. See, we look at people, and we look at people down here, and we think, oh, man, we feel bad for them because, you know, if they just had more money. If they don't change the way they think and stuff about healing and sick, they don't change the way. I don't care how much more money they get, they're going to spend more money on their health. Mm-hmm. They're not good. It's just going to, it's the devil. You got to, there must be a change in thought. So I found out things that the devil, I have seen this happen time and time again, where a person wants to go do the will of God and something, next thing you know, they're sick. Somebody wants to do something. See, the devil tried to keep me off the mission field already like that. Turn around, you know, and it was like when I tore my, and it was the strangest thing, when I tore the ligament in my foot, I was just standing in the bathroom mirror to mirror, turning around to go walk out and turned, and whoa, it was just like, pain shot up my leg and my foot swelled up, went and I was leaving the next day to go on a mission trip. But see, there's one thing God had told me to go on. The Lord spoke to me specifically I was supposed to go on this trip. So that was, and you heard me tell the story already on the fact when Wanda had asked me, what are you going to do? You're going to go on the trip? And I said, well, I got to go on the trip. I said, the Lord didn't tell me I wasn't supposed to go because I had this problem. I said, he hates problems. So I said, as far as it is, I'm going on the trip. That's what I'm going to do. Well, you know, I went to the ER and they just put a thing on it with and boot on the thing and with ice and that didn't make it feel any better at all. I mean, you put any pressure on it and it was like, oh my God, the pain. So, you know, I just see, but you're going to walk. See, it's number one. See, I knew the devil's trying to keep me not to go on a trip. So that's appeal. Most people will immediately submit to the devil. They'll say, this just, sometimes things just happen. Yeah, why does it always happen? See, I see people do that. They go on vacation and 10, 20 different bad things happen. And, well, we can't go on vacation because these things happen to us. Oh, sure. The devil will just stop you from having a good day. He won't want you to have a vacation. He don't want you to. No, his, everybody stops and says, we can't do that. It's like with me, for sure we're going. Because people start worrying about, well, you know, we'll have to spend the money for this and we can't spend the money on vacation. If God can't give me a vacation and take care of the bills, he ain't nothing and I ain't giving him another nickel. Mm-hmm. See, I learned this stuff a long time ago. Amen. See, our actions are a lot louder than our words. Amen. See, we need to get a hold of this stuff and grab this stuff and say, hold the devil, you set yourself to do something good and the devil comes and throws a thing in your face. He wants you to just go lay down. That's what he wants to do. Shut up and lay down. Why don't you show the world that God can't take care of you? Oh, see, there's a lot of this believing in Jesus stuff ain't really believing in Jesus stuff. Hallelujah. See, I learned a long time ago. See, Juan and I, we first started off, I mean, every dollar meant a lot. Didn't it, honey? It meant a lot. But you know what? We would take vacation. One of the things we always did, we always took good vacations, didn't we? Always had good vacations. We'd take a good vacation. We didn't have a nickel to go on vacation, but we'd tell everybody we're going on vacation. We'd even tell them the dates we were going to go and everything else. We didn't have a nickel to spend to do it. See, you know what? See, I'm going to plan, put my word out there, said I'm going on vacation. See, Jesus said you're going to have what you say.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you don't change it. You just have what you say. So we just say, we'd tell people we're going to go do this or we're going to go do that. See, I learned to go on trips like that. We took our kids, it's the first time to Disney World that way. We took them down to Disney World and spent a lot of money that we didn't have, that God brought into us. And it didn't just fall out of the sky. You know, you just think it's going to... But God just brought us money. And he did. So we were going to get down and do that. Why? We begin to say, what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We didn't have the money to do it. But this is what we're going to do. And so I told God what I wanted. I said, you know, as we looked at the fact, well, in fact, I had a person came and offered us a motorhome to drive down. We never told them. All we just people, we're going to Disney World. And so my brother came to me and said, I heard you're going to Disney World. He says, my motorhome hasn't been getting driven. Do you want to drive it down there? I said, we'll suffer through it. We'll take it. We'll suffer. Give us the motorhome. But you just do things. See, we don't have to go around asking everybody for stuff. You know, this is one thing that a lot of people do. You know, they pray and then ask everybody else. I learned this. I learned to pray in secret, and God rewarded me openly.
Amen.
I've learned that principle. And I tell you, I didn't learn it easy. God put me through some tough things to learn to do that. Telling me, you don't tell anybody anything. Oh, yes, sir. I sure like to. Learning to grow up. It's not always easy to learn to grow up, especially just like it is physically. It isn't always very easy to do. It's not easy. It's tough to mature sometimes. It's tough to learn how to get out on your own and you trust God yourself and you can't go to somebody else to help you. God won't even let you go to somebody else to agree with him. For about 30 years, the Lord would never allow me to have anybody lay hands on me and pray for me about any kind of problem or anything. And I thought he just ugly to Ed. But I want to tell you this. He taught me that I could stand if nobody else is around. And he told me that. You see, most preachers have no experience in what they preach.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. They don't have any experience in what they preach. I got experience. Some of them I wish I wouldn't have. Some of them I don't want back. I don't want to ask for them to come back again. Yet, through those experiences of the hard times is what makes you what you are.
Amen.
When the hard time comes.
Hallelujah.
Like Kenneth Hagin told us, he said, great faith is built through great trials. And if you ain't had any great trials, you don't know nothing about great faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to, so we're going to face things. But pray for, he told these people, they pray for the Lord of harvest. You see, he said, God's going to send these people out. You know, God is working. See, we get around on things, and like I say, you know, God says, God started sending things in. I asked the Lord specific for it. I said, I want $1,000 of just spending money we can throw away. Everything else paid, food, all that kind of stuff. I just want $1,000 that we can go on this thing here, and whatever the kids want to do outside of that, we can just do it. Now, back yonder when we did that, $1,000 was worth a lot more than it is today. You probably have to have five today to do it. To do what we did then. But after everything was paid, that was fuel down, places to stay. And we found out you get down there, you drove a motor home, you could stay in hotels as cheap as you could stay in campgrounds. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? So, but anyhow, we're down. We spent our money and we went down. But I asked the Lord for $1,000. When we left, we had $1,000 on the note in our pocket outside the other money we needed. Everything else was taken care of. He did exactly what I asked. And we didn't have a nickel to start. And we planned that vacation. We planned where we were going, you know. See, we did the things. We, like even one time we went, we had a hotel. The hotel we did, you know, we just didn't have the money to go, but we had a credit card and I could hold the hotel room with a credit card. So we had our date set and everything else. And we didn't have no money to go. I just had them hold it on the credit card. We can get down there. So we told everybody we're leaving, where we're going, and we went, and all the money came in. God is good.
Amen.
See, we need to come to that thing, is getting in our minds. We need to get over. What do we do now? There needs to be laborers in the harvest. We got to see this as a wonderful, good thing. See, we need a move of God. See, you'll never find a move of God. There wasn't a lot of laborers in the harvest. You can't expect preachers are not going to carry this thing. Everybody's looking. God, raise up somebody. How about me? How about you?
Amen.
How about I become a laborer? Lord, I want to be anointed. There's the interesting thing. I listen to people in years past concerning moves of God. And one of the things, you know, that I got around was people in the healing revivals of 1950. And in the 1950s, there was a great healing revival. It went into the beginning of the 60s. It waned out then at that time. But then God moved and the charismatic renewal came. The teaching ministries came and that kind of things took place. But Kenneth Hagin spoke about this. I heard other ministers. He said, when that healing revival was on, it was almost like healing was in the air. See, there's an anointing of God going. God is moving in this direction. God ain't raising up leaders at laborers where he's not anointing.
Amen.
Why send out laborers with nothing? Mm-hmm. We have so much done today without anointing. We have so much in ministry that's done without anointing. And that's why people don't expect anything. People don't wait for anointing. They don't find out, well, God, what are you doing? You know, because if he don't anoint, it's just you and me. That's, mm-hmm. Man, if all you got's me, you're in trouble.
Amen.
If all we got's you, we're in more trouble. Now, one of the things I learned, he said, was like healing in the air. He said, there were many people started healing ministries, and he said, they weren't necessarily even called to the ministry, but he said, anybody would sort of want to step into it, they could do it. And he said, people had phenomenal ministries that weren't really called as ministers and anointings, but they had phenomenal ministries. Why? The anointing of God.
Amen.
See, God was putting out laborers into the harvest. People just wanted it. They wanted it. They wanted something. They didn't want to stay home and watch TV and lay their hands on the television.
Yeah.
Or on the screen on your phone, you know, and I'll pray for you, okay, and that stuff. No. Thank God he does things. It amazes me the things that people have gotten healed, delivered, and different things. But you know what? It's just like in any family. See, we see in our nation exactly what is going on in the church. The church family, everybody stayed kids. And so we see in the world, all the kids that come out of college live with their parents and stuff and things. We see the exact same principle. Nobody grows up. No one grows up. We need somebody else to take care of them. You see, we see it in the church. Everybody wants to be a kid. God take him. I want to go sit on, you know, my father God's knee. No, I'm a worker together with him.
Amen.
I'm a worker together with him.
Hallelujah.
That's what I do. I don't like staying a baby.
Amen.
I don't like it somebody else has to take care of me all the time. I like it I can trust God. He'll take care of me.
Amen.
I like to bless others, not me running around. Somebody has to take care of me. See, we got to deal with this stuff. All this stuff is things about growing up, you know. I mean, the Bible says, you know, you get married, you're supposed to leave mom and dad. Man's supposed to cleave to his wife, not to mom and dad. See, we don't have that today. I mean, all kind of. I mean, in fact, I just had a person just say to me that, you know. Their, you know, kid got married and had to live with them and that sort of thing. I told my kids, you got married, you're going to live with me. Adios amigos. You ain't got a good enough relationship to get married. Can't take care of yourself? What are you married for? Sex. That's what it is. Yeah, we can just jump on each other. Good preaching. Yeah, yeah. See, and you know what? We'll let you do it. We'll pay bills. Now, I'm just telling you, this might sound hard, but see, you can't expect the blessing of God and not follow the Bible.
Amen.
See, everybody wants it. They say, pray for me and God will help me. When are you going to do the word?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God will help you. See, God would put us out into things just to do stuff. You know, it's like the Lord told me the first time he sent me on a mission trip. I'm in Bible school, you know, and the Lord says, I want you to take a trip to Peru. This is what I want. I want you to go to Peru. I said, okay, you want me to go to Peru? That's fine. But, you know, it isn't like, you know, you're in Bible school. I mean, I'm working a job as minimum wage, which back in the 1980s, minimum wage was a lot more minimum than today. And we, you know, what you had to do, I had a minimum wage job, and I'm working 50 hours a week and going to school full time. So don't tell me about tired and troubles and Don't tell me. I mean, I'm in the middle of the will of God. Mm-hmm. And ain't got no time at all. In fact, we actually went to this. This had happened. I said, Lord, I could go to church on Sunday, but I had to work. I had to go into work Sunday afternoon and worked into Sunday night. And then come home and late and get up and go to church, go to school on the Monday morning. But I said, Lord, I'd like to see things turn around where I could get I could go to church on Wednesday nights. I wouldn't have to work all these hours. See, you know what he did to me? Now this is one thing. Most people don't know God. They think God is just going to try to find an easy way for you to get something. He's not. That's not how he teaches. You know, if they send you to school and they only give you easy things to do, you're going to end up a dummy the rest of your life.
Amen.
It's making you use your brain and having to work through things is where education really comes. Well, this is what he said to me. I wanted to go to Wednesday night to church. So I wanted to go. I wanted some more time off too, you know, and that stuff. And here was his idea. I want you to volunteer on Wednesday night to church. And what I had, I got my schedule changed, but I still had to work about hours enough. So I got it where I could go do that. And he told me, I want you to go volunteer. First thing I want you to do is go do some more stuff that causes you more time. I said, my words, 80 hours a week ain't enough now. You know, I went all that out there and got straight A's the whole time. I was too tired to even study. But God would do things. But anyhow, I went through this. And so he told me to do it. Now I went through this period of time where to me that was difficult because of all the work you're doing and that kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you this. You know what? See, this is why you can walk in faith. God take care of your kids. I couldn't spend a lot of time with my family. I'm doing the will of God. But see, we today, you know, we have to take care of everything because, see, God couldn't do it. You know, God can't do it. I have to be there to take care of it all. So God has me out there. Now, Wanda can be, she's working the hours of the kids. She's working at school, so she's off when the kids are off and that stuff. Good. God has me out here putting time. I'm putting time. Now, I like spending time with the kids, but, you know, I just kept being obedient to God. So I picked up that church thing. And you know what I was going to church? It wasn't to go to church, sit down. He told me to volunteer for the parking crew. Well, that was more time. I had to get there earlier yet and do all this other stuff. Huh. See, but I've been praying for relief. But I'm going to tell you what you don't know about relief. You don't know. You think, this God tells me to do more. He told me to do more. So I just went and obeyed it. And all this thing became a key that changed our life out there.
Hallelujah.
This thing became a key. This is when it happened, the job that I was on. They weren't treating me right. Remember I told the story about manager wouldn't pay me? And the Lord said to me, he said, you go to work for me. So I went to work every day. Now the Lord, now understand, we're going through all of this and the Lord tells me to leave my job. But he started bringing money in. We started having money coming to us. And money just started coming into us. And I really, literally did happen. We had more money coming in, a lot more money than my paycheck was. In fact, they would call me to tell me to get my paycheck. I'd forget to pick up my paycheck at work. Because that was just some side money. I mean, that was little to what God was bringing into us and God was doing. So anyhow, so we come up and so school ends and Wanda's going to be off. And hereby, God getting me hooked up with this parking crew, got me hooked up with a guy who was he was a CEO of a company. And he left his job as a CEO of a company and went to Rhema. And so he started working for another company while he was there and that stuff. And so this guy talked to me and he said, he came and he asked me and he hired me to come and work for him. Well, it is. And after the beginning of when school started, I would go to work for him. I wouldn't have to have another job. I could go to work for him. And it was great because my classes were over, I'd go in and work for him and work in the office there and then leave in the evening and stuff. So I had my evenings off and that kind of stuff. This was a great thing. But before that, the Lord said this to me then. He said, now I'm talking about all this time I'm spending. See, you think you're spending all this time. God's planning the whole time. God's planning the whole time. And the Lord said to me, when the end of school came up, of my school year, the Lord said, I want you to work this summer. He said, I want you to take off and spend the summer with your family. I ain't ever had the summer off. When I was a kid, we were in the summers. We were out of school. We worked the farms. We did all this stuff. And the Lord said, you can have the summer. Spend the time with your family. And I'll tell you what, we had a great summer, didn't we? God blessed us. We had a great summer. See, God provided that. He already had a job lined up for me.
Amen.
Back to school. And had a good job line for it that was making more money with a lot less hours. A lot less hours. See, God, this is why you get over there, obey what God tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
He'll anoint you to do it if you will do it. But if you look the natural, I can't do this and I can't do that. Remember, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen.
There's always reward. And the reward's always good. You don't want to miss it. I've always wondered how many times have we missed reward that God had planned for us, but because we chose another direction.
Mm-hmm.
He was planning the whole time to do something wonderful.
Amen.
I could have missed that whole thing of saying to Him, well, that's ridiculous. It could be God talking to me, telling me to go. More hours and more time. Couldn't be Him telling me to do that. See? If you don't know God well enough and you listen and say, I've had ministers say, that, oh, God would never have you do this. Do you realize Kenneth Hagin, the biggest problem that he had when he was in the ministry was other ministers always telling him that God would never have him out traveling as much as he did. And you know, most of them died prematurely and most of them never fulfilled the will of God in their life. He said, the hardest problems I have is with Christians. The world will champion you many times when Christians will run you down for doing the will of God. Because, see, it's your job to take care of everything. If you're a good Christian, you take care of yourself and everybody else, and it's your job to take care of everything. It's not mine.
Amen.
Mine is to do what the will of God tells me to do.
Amen.
And if He didn't tell me to take care of you, I'm not. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
Do what God tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Obey. There are people ain't going to like it, but I tell you, the reward comes. You want to be a blessing. You got to be blessed first.
Amen.
You can preach people God is good, and they look at your life and they can't see nothing good, no better than they got. Now you think they're going to fall for that?
No way.
They're not going to fall for it. They're looking to see, and it ain't about money. It ain't about that kind of stuff. I can get you around people with money, and even Christians with money, and they have lousy lives.
That's right.
Money don't make it good. As you walk around, you have peace and joy and things in life and that stuff.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I've had Christians tell me I laugh too much. Bunch of knuckleheads. You laugh too much. I said, you're a joke. I can't help it. You laugh too much. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, you got to learn to laugh. You got to learn to laugh.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
God's good. Let people know how good God is.
Amen.
Let Him be great in your life. We were saying how great thou art. Let Him be great.
Amen.
Let Him be great in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He wants to be. He's not operating against you. He's not trying to hold anything back. Hallelujah. Just listen to Him. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. 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 You know, one thing Jesus does is this morning. Is there anybody here this morning and you're dealing with a health problem or something? You want hands laid on you. Now, there's nothing matter with having hands laid on you. See, that's the fact that God did with me. Was number one, God did certain things for me because of the fact of teaching others. You know, God was raising me up for ministry. He told me, He said, you went through a lot of things. He said, I did so you could teach, not just teach people, but you could do by experience. See, you need experiences. See, teachers should have some kind of experience in something that they're teaching.
Amen.
You know, not this stuff that people do. And sometimes people do this. They go out here and they, you know, they have a problem in their life they're going through, so they want to get involved in somebody else's life that has the same problem. Well, if you ain't overcome it, stay out of their life.
Amen.
You know. I would rather have somebody come and tell me, talk to me about my marriage, somebody who's making it work and not somebody who didn't make it work. Say, well, we had problems already. Yeah, but we had problems and overcame. Hallelujah. Okay, now this is what we're going to do. I mean, does anybody else wonder if you want hands laid on it? Because this is what we're going to. I'm not going to lay hands on them. Have you folks, you can lay hands. Because there were everybody here.
Amen.
We can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's everybody here. We all have that. And see, what I want you to see is this stuff works. It works not just, well, the minister does it.
That's right.
It works.
That's right.
You see, we're doing it for another believer. Another believer, they have the Spirit in them.
That's right.
They have the same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, quickening their body. You have that due. Would God have you lay hands on somebody and he wasn't going to do nothing? He didn't plan to do nothing.
Nope.
See, get that stuff out of your head. Don't allow those thoughts to come into you. Don't allow you, well, I'm not a minister. What on earth? Jesus didn't say, well, if the ministers lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He didn't say that. And see, get it in yourself that if you obey, all it is we're obeying God here today.
Yes.
Obedience to God. No, just think about it. We're obeying. Is he going to turn against us in obeying him?
No.
No. Is he going to say, well, I won't do it? See, there's one thing. The healing of God, power of God is here today. It's here. Why? Because God's here. We say we believe the presence of God, but I want you to understand the presence of God's everywhere.
Amen.
There's nowhere God's not. Now just think, get that in your mind. Nowhere that God's not. Is God somewhere and his healing power is not there?
Nope.
Well, it couldn't be because God is not separated from his own power.
Amen.
So if God is here and present, and God's here present, now we have, each of us, we're believers, we have the presence of God in us. Not just with us here, with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it in us. See, you have something in you. See, we get it from agreement. You have something in you that you can hook together with her.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You have that.
Thank you, Lord.
See, you have something to pass on.
Amen.
It's not a formality and we're just doing this. People, now I know they say this, use it as a point of contact. What's the point of contact if there's nothing there?
Amen.
It's like turning the light switch on and it don't work.
Amen.
That's not a point of contact. Yeah, it's on the wall, but what good does it do? It's if you have the power of God. So what we want to do here today, we're praying, we're agreeing with, she's believing God. She wants something. That's why she stepped out. She wants. We're agreeing that God's going to do what she desires. Whatever we desire when we pray is to believe and receive it. It says we'll have it.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
If the preacher will do it.
Whoop. No.
No. No. You folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
If two agree as by touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my
Amen.
Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then he says that Jesus himself is in the midst of it. Now, when did Jesus ever flub up on the healing thing?
No. Amen.
So, once you can come up around here to her, to lay hands on her.
Well, come on, don't be afraid.
Come on.
I invite you, let's go.
Yeah, she hasn't bitten anyone in a long time. She's had shots, so don't, she's okay. Lay your hands on her, put hands on her. Come on around, come around on this side. When one's come around, lay hands on her. See, we're the church.
Amen.
See, we're the church. And see, if anything we should want people well.
Amen.
Jesus died for the church to be well.
Amen.
We're not trying to convince him to do a thing here today. This is not anything. You just can't come around over here on this side. Hallelujah. Join him. If you can't touch her, touch somebody in front of you. We're all connected. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. So you folks pray. I'm going to pray, but you folks pray. Hallelujah. We're release the power of God in us to her, joining together with her in the name of Jesus for her to be made completely well.
Amen.
From the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Her whole body's renewed in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. Father, your children are following your word. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Your healing power is going in to Sherry today in the name of Jesus. Her body's being made alive by the Holy Spirit. Healing power is going into her right now, bringing a healing and a cure of her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She's well, Lord God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we glorify you because it's working. She, Lord God, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. She's recovering from whatever is happening right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's a working in her. Hallelujah. Praise. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, thank you for using your people. Hallelujah. Thank you for manifesting yourself to one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I just appreciate it, Lord, for your goodness. You're doing what your word says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, does anybody else who didn't say they needed didn't say they needed help needed? Is there anybody else needs hands laid on them? See, let the body. Anybody else? Get in there.
Come on, Betty.
Get in there. You need help. Who needs help? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else do anything? Lay hands on Betty.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're just obeying the word. This is the church at work. This is the body of Christ. That's what you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God would have never told you to lay hands on people if you didn't have nothing. Hallelujah. You got something. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Right now, healing power is going into Betty's body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, you told us to lay hands on the sick and they would recover because Jesus took her infirmities, bore her sicknesses, and by his stripes, Betty was healed. And so we thank you, Lord God. Her body's recovering fully in the name of Jesus from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Life is working mightily in her, not death. Life is working mightily in her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. She's just getting better and better and better and better. Hallelujah. More health, more strength, more ability. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. It's a working in her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Betty's recovered. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's give praise that they're recovering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're recovering in the name of Jesus. They're getting well. They're getting well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you'll hear good things about it. See, this is the church. This is the church. This is the church working. This is what we have. We do. Hallelujah. See, we can lay hands on one another. See, the power in these things, you know, Wanda and I have learned over the years, and especially the power of agreement, that we've had times that we've gone through, we've learned to stand together on things and that stuff. Why? Because we don't have to wait for some kind of special thing. We're the church. Hallelujah. We're the special thing. We are. The church is.
Hallelujah.
We're the special thing. Glory to God. See, I know most of the church world don't believe in this stuff, even though it's written in the Bible.
Amen.
They don't believe it.
Amen.
They don't believe it. Oh, no, we don't believe in this healing stuff. I just heard a minister here in town talking about it. They don't believe in this healing stuff. And I'm thinking, what a knucklehead. And in his church, they have prayer requests for people who are sick, but they don't believe in the healing stuff. I thought, what a bunch of idiots. Why would you? Well, we're going to pray for people that are sick. What, ask God to kill them? I don't know. What do you ask? I mean, if you don't believe in God healing them, what's the alternative? Lord, make them feel better until they die. Hallelujah. So remember, you have the power, you have the Spirit of God in you. You have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Think about that. The same Holy Spirit with the resurrection power that raised Jesus from spiritual death to spiritual life. See, we look at physical death. Physical healing was nothing compared to raising Jesus spiritually from physical death. That's nothing compared to the new birth in you. The new birth is 100 times greater. If God would use the power to cause you to become a new creation, healing your body is a nothing. In comparison, it's nothing. See, we make healing the big thing. Did Jesus make like healing was the top of everything? It was just as normal with him, wasn't it? God made healing normal. It was the normal. It was normal to do. God takes guys, they ain't even born again. 12 of them, sends them out. Tells 70 more of them. They aren't born again. They ain't sure. And he gives them power to run around in healing. Why? The norm. Healing should be the norm in Christianity of ministering sick to the healing. Should be the norm. It's not. It's not. Hallelujah. See, this thing, we get changed. Lord, send laborers into the harvest.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, send laborers. Why? Whoever he sent, he'll anoint them.
Amen. Praise God.
We need people. We need to have a greater anointing, don't we?
Amen.
So see, that's something we can do in this time. We can pray for Lord to send laborers to the harvest. See, that's something. What do we want to do? Why? Because there's a harvest. the Bible tells us, and excuse me, and it's written in Scripture that and you think it's a King James uses the word husbandman. The word is farmer. It says the farmer's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. When Peter wrote that, he was talking about the Lord's return. In other words, what's God waiting for? The precious fruit of the earth. That's what he's waiting for. So we know this. He wants a harvest. So if we're moving toward harvest, then we ought to be praying for harvest things.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
See, I want more anointed harvesters and I want more money.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
Amen. I'll take an enormous harvest. You know what? An enormous harvester will always have enough money.
Amen. Amen.
It will. See, we got the money church today. And they think money is the answer. It's just like our government. They think more money is the answer. More of this is the answer. More of that. No, more the anointing of God. God, I want you to send laborers.
Amen.
I want you. I want you to anoint laborers and send them out. Hallelujah. Amen. We want anointed laborers into the harvest.
Hallelujah.
The anointing, let me just say this to you. The anointing gets contagious. And it is.
Amen.
It's worse than COVID. No, I'll say, do you know what? You get around an anointing enough, it gets on you.
Amen.
It does.
Amen.
It gets on you. You get around anointing long enough, it gets on you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
We're going to do some things about the anointing. I say, what are you going to do? I don't know. The Lord just said that to me. You're going to do some things like he just said that. So, surprise. We'll find out. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some anointings that are going to be imparted.
Amen.
God's doing
Thank
some
you,
things.
Lord. Thank you.
God's
Lord.
Doing some things about people. But people, if we seek, we find. If we knock, it's open to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, I just encourage you, celebrate, Lord God, please. Lord, if anything we need now, we need more harvesters.
Amen.
People that have your hand on them in the field. Hallelujah. I don't think people have a hard time going.
Mm-mm.
They get God's hand on them.
That's right.
They're running a lot of this stuff today trying to get people to witness people without no anointing. They ain't praying for God to send people. They're trying to send people.
Mm.
Say no. Get an anointing to go.
Amen.
God didn't put me in the ministry till he anointed me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Call to the ministry means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have an anointing, who cares?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God will anoint you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, if anything that I pray for these people, Lord God, that they see that your great compassion and love for them, your great mercy. Lord God, Lord, all of us can bring things up where we've messed up in our life and we could have done things differently and things of the past. But Lord God, you're not dragging the past.
Amen.
Lord God, you're establishing a future.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you for these ones, Lord, that they see your great compassion and love today. That Lord God, that your word is every bit as true toward them that the day that it was scribed down, Father God, of your love for them, your compassion, your mercy, and Lord God, your blessing for them. Father, it's all true.
Amen.
Father, I pray that they see that you're not withholding any good thing from them. Hallelujah. The Lord doesn't do that. That every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Hallelujah. And there's no shadow of turning. That God, that you're the rewarder. You're their rewarder, hallelujah. You're their great reward, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you, Father God, that, Lord God, they see that. Lord, when they see the weakness of their own life, Lord God, that they can look past that to your strength,
Amen.
To your ability. They can look past their failures and they can look and say, God, if anything I want my hand on you because that'll change it all. That
Amen.
Changes it all. You in my life changes it all. You in my life, Lord God, takes what weak and makes it strong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let the weak say I'm strong. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. Let the poor say I'm rich. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. Oh, you might say, well, I can't say, I need a lot more money than what we got. I need to, no, he said, this is what you say. Hallelujah. See, you do your part. God will do His part
Hallelujah.
For you. God will do His part. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening them, giving them wisdom today. Hallelujah. Of how to walk. Lord God, let the joy that's inside of them rise up, Lord God. Bring laughter back to their tongues again. Bring laughter back to their life. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord, which is their strength. Hallelujah. Lord God, the sadness goes away and the gladness comes. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father God. Hallelujah. Full of strength, full of might. That's your people. Hallelujah. It's just like you said about Gideon. You man of valor. He looks at you today and he says, you're people of valor. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's what you are. Hallelujah. Call yourself what God's calling you. More than a conqueror. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Always triumphing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Not always failing. Always triumphing. Hallelujah. That's the church. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, the good work that you started in them, you will bring it to completion.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, there's a day coming and they're going to stand before you and they're going to hear words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So thank you, Father. As they go out today, they go out with joy. Hallelujah. And they're being led forth with peace. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, did it help you?
Yes,
it helped me. It helped me. Have a wonderful day. Hallelujah.